Sometimes we go to places that are unsafe. They're unsafe for us spiritually or physically or emotionally. They're rocky places or places of great waves. I appreciate that the new system allows us to have these really cool backgrounds. So you may have noticed this morning Tom's had waves washing in the background in all of our videos this morning, which is kind of cool. As long as people don't get seasick, we're good. but it's good for us to get that sense of being out there on the water, of being out there where it's sometimes unsafe, and getting that sense that God goes with us in those times. Would you pray with me as we begin? Please, Lord, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us today in your word and through your spirit. Give us understanding and courage. Teach us your ways and shelter us from the storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever gotten yourself in a situation that turned out badly? You found yourself in the middle of a storm that seemed to come out of nowhere. Maybe it was something that seemed like a good idea at the time, and then when you got in the middle of it, it turned out to be not such a great idea, and it was a little more difficult to get out of. I put myself in a lot of those situations over the years. But I was at college, at Broadcast College, in my pre-Christian days, and during my second year at college, my roommate Mike and I, we decided to get off of campus. We got sick of dorm living, and we rented a cabin on the beach on Lake Nipissing in North Bay, Canada. A couple of college students, a cabin, a beach. What could go wrong? Great place to be. We enjoyed ourselves there. Mike and I were at a party one Friday evening, and I think there was a Gilligan's Island rerun on the television set in the background, because at some point, some incredible idiot who shall remain nameless on the grounds that the evidence might be used against him in a court of law proposed that we have a Gilligan's Island party and sail to a nearby island. Well, we thought this was great fun. The Manitou Islands on Lake Nipissing were just offshore, and they were supposed to be haunted by Nipissing Indians who died there battling with the Iroquois. And there were abandoned mines out there. I don't mean the blow-up kind. I mean the mining kind. And there were more than a dozen shipwrecks scattered around the islands. And it just seemed like a really cool place to go. And so we thought, you know, we'll go out and do a little barbecuing and do a little swimming, and then we'll boat back. Seemed like a great idea at the time. Well, some of you may feel where this is headed already. We set out in the morning with five crew members, a few of whom may or may not have been in poor shape because of the previous evening's activities, and they were already a little bit green when we were about 20 feet from shore. We rented a large bass boat from our landlord, and we promptly christened the boat the SS Minnow, because we're off on this grand adventure. And we filled it almost to capacity with crew members and with coolers and with fishing gear and with all kinds of stuff. And we set out on our three-hour tour. Well, you know how the story goes. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the stupidity of the fearless crew, we wouldn't have been out there in the first place. The only one in the group of us who knew the real danger, who knew what was going on, was our skipper, Mike. Mike grew up in a marina on Lake of Bays, which is a sort of in northern Ontario in Canada, and he was an expert boatman. And so as the waves kept getting bigger and bigger, he had a pretty good idea about what was happening. At one point, I looked at Mike, and he looked very grim. And I said to him, you know, should we turn back? I mean, should we go back? He said, no, we're more than halfway. We need to go to the island to get shelter, because I think we got a storm coming. Well, about that time, the water kept swelling higher and higher. And as the swells were coming up to the top of the gunwales, we began to think we might have to bail here. We were getting a little bit nervous. Some of the guys were just kind of oblivious to what was going on, and they were laughing and carrying on, but Mike was pretty serious about what was happening. Well, finally we made it to the nearest island. This is the South Manitou Island. It's a very small one. There are lots of others. You can see some in the background. They're actually almost within swimming distance in calm weather. It didn't look like this on the day that we arrived there. And when we went ashore, we found there was a couple with a sailboat, and they put the sailboat into a cove, and they had a marine radio. And so they told us that there was a big storm coming in with very high winds, and if we could, we should try to find some shelter somewhere on the island so that we could stay dry. So we beached the boat, and we walked over to the lee side of the island away from the wind so that we could get shelter. And we talked about how weird it would be if, you know, on this, what was supposed to be just a lighthearted day, we ended up actually getting stranded on this island and having to spend the night. You know, ghost stories are a lot funnier when you're at a party with friends than they are when you're on an island and it's becoming very dark and there's a storm blowing in, right? Well, it got darker and it rained and the wind was high. But eventually, the storm blew through, and even the sunshine returned. We got a little bit wet, but not too bad, and we built a fire, we dried out, we roasted some weenies, and we had a good time. And at some point, we decided, well, we better find out what the weather is like so that we can see, you know, when we can go back home. We walked across the island, and the sailboat was gone. And so we thought, okay, well, this is a good sign. If they decided it was good for sailing, then it must be okay for us to go back. And so we headed ashore, and the wave swell was still pretty high, but now we were going with the waves instead of against the waves, and it was a lot easier going in. But still, Mike had that grim look on his face and kind of a death grip on the throttle as we were coming across the water. Well, I'm happy to say that we made it home without the need to be rescued, and we didn't even have to build any bicycles out of bamboo and coconuts. We were doing just great. And only Michael, the experienced sailor and boatman, had any idea of the real danger that we had been in as we were out there on the water. The rest of us were pretty much happily oblivious. Mike, however, was not happy. Using some very colorful language, he explained to us that we would never do anything like that again. And we didn't. Well, the point of this story is that we innocently sailed into a storm without any idea that it was coming. If we knew the storm was coming, we'd have stayed on shore. And we wouldn't have gone out that day. And it could have turned out a whole lot worse than it did. We could have become stranded out there, or we could have swamped the boat, and that would have been bad. We didn't cause the storm, but when the storm came up, not all of us really recognized the danger that we were in. Only Mike knew how bad things were. Well, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is this great story about the disciples on a boat with a storm and Jesus. And it's kind of upside down to the story I just told you. In this case, only Jesus knew the real truth about the storm. And in this case, Jesus knew how bad the storm wasn't, while everybody else thought the storm was terrible. Jesus had been teaching all day, and he was surrounded by crowds. And, you know, it was Jesus' custom that from time to time he would withdraw, he would find a place to rest. He would find a place to pray, to get with God, to restore. And so he asked them to withdraw from the crowd. You know, he'd been teaching parables all day. If you read through the text, if you put those three together, you see just the large volume of stories Jesus shared in that period of time. You know, he shared the parable of the sower, the lampstand, the growing seed, the parable of the mustard seed, and many more. And so he was likely tired. So they set out from shore. Mark says that as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." And so they took Jesus in the boat and got started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High winds were breaking into the boat and began to fill it with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now you notice right off the start that the disciples haven't quite figured out Jesus yet. They have that question, "Who is this? Who is this man?" They reveal really by the question what they don't know. I'm not sure that they really do figure it out until after the resurrection. You know, then it becomes very clear. But they definitely haven't any clue at this point that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we know from Jesus' own words in Scripture that Jesus is fully human and fully God, that he's the second person of the Trinity, that there are three persons that make up the being we call God. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. The Father sent the Son, Jesus, to become human, to communicate to us the full truth of his love, and to demonstrate the love by dying on a cross for us and being raised up on the third day. Our sins needed atonement, and God provided Jesus for that very reason. It was a gift of love. But the disciples on that morning in the boat, they hadn't a clue about the full nature of Jesus. They seemed to be thinking of this as a bit of a lark, like we did when we went on our boat trip out to do our Gilligan's Island party. They had no great worries. They were off on a great adventure. Well, think about how this story unfolds. They set out on the boat and Jesus goes to sleep. And you know that on the Sea of Galilee, the storms can come up pretty fast and pretty fierce. The word for storm here is the word seismos. Think of the word seismograph. Seismos means a shaking. It's the same word we get seismic from when we talk about the shaking of an earthquake. And so this was a really violent storm. This was no spring shower. They weren't afraid of getting a little wet. This is not what this is about. They were afraid of dying. The waves were coming up over the sides. The boat was filling up with water. And remember that some of these guys were fishermen. I was reading that some believe by the context and by other parts of the story that there could have been as many as 7 of them in the group that were fishermen. But that left another 5 who were not fishermen. They were landsmen. And they say that even today in Galilee, that farmers and landsmen who do not go on the water for a living tend to be afraid of the water in Galilee. Just to begin with, to not even go into boats. And so it's interesting that here's a large group of them trapped on the water in the middle of a storm. But I think of these fishermen, they're the ones with the extra knowledge. They know about this lake. They know about the Sea of Galilee. They know, because they're fishermen and this is what they do for a living, how much trouble they're in when they see the storm coming up. Like my friend Mike, they were experienced boatmen. And so this storm is blowing through and they thought they were going to die. Have you ever been through a storm in your life that really shook you? I mean, it really shook you? Maybe it was something physical. Maybe you were truly thinking you were going to die. Or maybe it was something that shook you so badly that you felt it might be better to die than to go through what you're going through. Storms come into our lives, and when they do, they can wreak havoc. And that brings a number of things that can cripple our Christian life. You know, I remember the first time I had a heart attack. That was several years ago now. Up until that time, I felt pretty much indestructible, pretty much invincible. You know, I was younger, and I, I was in my mid-30s, and you know, I felt this was my prime of life, and I would jump into things and not even think about it. Not think twice before I jumped in. Not think about the consequences. And then I had this heart attack at age 36. And it was an incredible experience, because during that time I had this close sense of the presence of God, and it kind of brought me through this experience. But then afterwards, a lot of funny feelings began to set in. They gave me this little bottle of nitrolingual spray. It's a nitro spray that you can spray under your tongue if you're having angina pains. You know, it's there to help you, and it immediately opens up these blood vessels and gets the arteries open. It gets blood moving through your body, and it makes the pain go away. And it's pretty handy. Well, for a long time afterwards, I carried that little bottle. You know, they told me I only had to carry it for a couple of weeks after the surgery. You know, and, you know, keep it in a drawer if you need it or something like that. But that little bottle with the little pink fluid in it became kind of my security blanket. And I carried that thing for almost a year in my pocket. And I carried it so much and so long that the label wore right off the thing, you know, so you wouldn't even know what it was. I'm not sure it was even very effective if I had needed to use it. But see, that's what storms in our lives do. They change us. And one of the first things they do is they make us feel vulnerable. You know, I'd felt pretty much invincible before that point. But then came the storm in my life, and it made me feel pretty vulnerable. Another thing that comes along with that is fear. You know, storms that we go through in our life, they bring out fear. And the what ifs. You ever have the what ifs? You know, if this could happen in my life, you know, my confidence has been undermined. So if this could happen in my life, then what if that happens? You know, you think of, you know, if I fall down and break my leg, what if I break my arm too? You know, you get all these strange scenarios that start going through your mind, and all these things that you never thought about before suddenly become a big worry. And fear can take away your joy, and it can make you miserable, because you live your whole life waiting for the other shoe to drop. Fear is erosive. It eats away at your faith, and it can even cripple your faith. Fear that came out of a storm that you went through, this bad experience in your life, it can actually then prevent you from stepping out in faith the next time God calls you to do it. Because your confidence in God, your confidence in yourself, your confidence that you had before, it's been eroded away. It's been eaten away, and your faith gets a bit weak. When the disciples in the boat wake up Jesus, he says, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" Let me ask you that same question. Why are you so afraid? What are you afraid of? Has the storm, or a storm, or a number of storms derailed your faith? You know, when our faith gets off the tracks, it's hard to get back on track and headed in the right direction. Fear does that to us. Fear makes it very hard for us to keep going in the right direction sometimes. Well, there's something else that can happen in the storm, and that is that the storm can bring doubt. Storms often do that to us. The storm on the boat, the storm is in full fury, and the disciples wake Jesus, and what's the first thing that they say to him? "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we die?" I think that's something that we ask God. We ask the same question, don't we, when we're going through a storm. We ask, "Lord, don't you care about the storm? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care if I die? I'm drowning here. Don't you care? Where are you? Why are you just sleeping when I'm dying? When I'm going through this life experience. That's what it feels like, doesn't it? That God is just sleeping. I think there are some things that God doesn't care about. You know, I think God doesn't care if you wear the navy pants or the neon green ones. Some of us might care, but I don't think God cares. I don't think God really cares what kind of cereal you eat in the morning, and I don't think God really cares what kind of car you drive as long as you're a good steward. But when it comes to you, God cares. God cares about you in every single way. Jesus says that not one sparrow will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, because you're worth a lot more than sparrows. You think, when you're going through the storm, you think that God doesn't care. You think Jesus isn't paying attention. You think he doesn't know what you're going through. But you're wrong about all of that stuff. And you need to, in faith, even if it's the tiniest little step of faith, that mustard seed faith, you need to kind of push that back. Push that away. Dump that thought in the trash. The devil wants you to think that Jesus doesn't know. The devil wants you to think that Jesus doesn't care. But that's wrong. Jesus sees even the number of hairs on your head. Now, with me, that's a lot less to count, but he knows what's there. Jesus demonstrates his awareness and his care for these disciples who are so afraid that they've lost their faith, what little faith they had in him, that they're not really thinking straight, by calming the storm. Matthew's gospel says that Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Mark says he told the winds and the waves, "Silence, be still." And then it says the wind died down and it was completely calm. Imagine that scenario, you know. The storm's raging, the water's coming in the boat, and Jesus stands up and maybe he's hanging onto the mast or wherever he is in the boat, and he just says, "Be still," and the waters stop raging and the skies start to clear and maybe the sun comes out. And everything that was going on a moment ago has changed. You know, I know that sometimes it's not in the storm itself that you feel the most vulnerable or that our worst fears come out. But sometimes it's in that calm after the storm that it happens. You know what I mean? You know, you're going through the storm. You're just hanging on for dear life and praying like crazy you'll get through it. And then you get to this point where things sort of lighten up on you, and then you got time to think. And all that stuff starts coming in on you, and you start worrying it. That's when we need Jesus in the boat with us. Yes, to calm the storm, but also to be with us after the storm, to help us to answer some of life's most terrible questions, because we all get them. Let me give you some take-home from the story that I think can be helpful when you think about life storms. Or maybe to help you right now if you're going through the middle of a storm. First of all, most storms have an end. If you think meteorologically about an actual storm, storms don't go on forever. You know, in the movies they seem to. You know, it was a dark and stormy night. There's a cliche opening for a book. I was watching one of the Alien movies the other night, and, you know, just at the wrong time, there's this massive storm, and it's going on for hours, and it's going to prevent them from going in and rescuing those people on the planet. And it just seems like it always is like that in the movies. But in real life, the storm ends at some point, usually. I recognize there are some things that happen to us that do continue on, that seem not to end. But most storms have an end. Most storms blow themselves out. Storms run out of energy. They can't go on forever. But when you're in the middle of them, it feels like they are. To a child going through abuse, the world is all storm. To someone in grief, it seems like that storm is never, ever going to end. To a teenager being bullied, it's all about the storm. But the promise of God is that one day the storm is going to end. The second thing I want to draw your attention to is that we shouldn't focus on the storm. Don't focus on the storm. Not that we should ignore it, but, you know, the disciples in their fear were entirely focused on the storm. They kind of forgot about Jesus sleeping there in the boat. We can get focusing in the wrong places. I was in a theological discussion with a group one time, and they noted that Mark is the only one out of these three stories that talks about Jesus putting his head on a pillow in the boat. Well, words are important, so there must be a reason the pillow was there, and they got all focused on the pillow. And they forgot the point of the story. Who cares if he was laying on a pillow? That's not the point. And when we're going through a storm, we can get so focused on the storm itself that we forget all the important stuff that's going on all around us. We can give all our energy to the storm. We can let the storm take complete control of our lives. But doing that doesn't make the storm go away. When I was in college, the oldest member of my freshman class was in his 80s. His name was Morris. He was a retired teacher. And he had just retired, and he and his wife were looking forward to this great life where they were going to do all kinds of things. And the wife, whom he loved dearly and had been with for many, many years, died suddenly and kind of painfully. This horrible storm came into his life. At some point, Morris decided he needed to move on and do something else. And here he is in his 80s, his early 80s. He decides to come to college to learn more about the Bible. And so he starts to work on a degree. Now, I think a lot of us would say, well, why bother at this point in life? You know, it's like, I'm in my 80s. Not for him. It was time to move on. It was time to do something new. And in between our first and our second year, you know, most of us are off trying to earn enough for the third year or the next year, the second year. And Morris comes back and, what did you do for the summer? Oh, I traveled across Canada in my car. He had traveled across the country, went out to visit his kids, but decided instead to fly. He could afford to fly, but he decided he would drive, and he slept in his car. As he did so, and he had all kinds of arthritis problems, but you know what? He ignored the storm, and he slept in his car, and he went all kinds of really cool places, and he had all kinds of really great stories to tell and great pictures to show us. Morris didn't focus on the storm. He had some terrible storms in his life, one of them being the problem of age, but he didn't focus on the storm. The third thing I want to say is trust the one who can calm the storm. We focus on the storm instead of focusing on Jesus, the one who can calm the storm. Jesus asked the disciples, do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? You know, these guys, this wasn't their first experience with Jesus. They'd been with him for a while. They'd seen him do miracles. What was the first miracle? He turned water into wine. He did this. And he did it for their benefit alone. He didn't do it for public consumption. He wasn't ready to reveal himself to the public yet. But he did this, and he said, you know, this is for you alone. Keep this to yourselves. And they had that experience, and they saw him do other miracles. But somehow they hadn't learned to trust him. Sure, they had some faith, but their faith seemed to be all up here on the surface. And when the storm came, that faith just evaporated with the storm. I've seen some people lose their faith in some pretty minor storms in life. It didn't go their way, and so they walked away. You know? And that's really sad when that happens. I've also seen some people go through some terrible loss and some really hard life experiences and be profoundly changed, but in a very positive way. And I think the difference, as far as I can tell, is on the focus. We can focus on the storm, or we can focus on the one who calms the storm. And you know, after the storm, sometimes we need to just be with Jesus. He calms our hearts, dispels our fears, and He heals our wounds, and He brings peace. And He regrows our faith that was lost, you know, because I think we're a lot more like those disciples than we want to admit. You know, when we get into the storm, our faith just kind of evaporates, and it's gone. And then afterwards we go, oh yeah, yeah, I trust in God. Sometimes when we go through the storm and afterwards, we don't have the strength to do anything. You've been there? Been in that experience? You just have nothing. You don't have the strength to pray. You don't have the strength to read the Bible. Sometimes you don't have the strength to go to church. You don't want to be around anybody. Everything just hurts. I went through an experience at a sort of a midpoint in my Christian life. I wasn't pastoring at the time. I was working in other ministry, but I went through this terrible hurt at church, and one morning I drove separately from Bonnie and the girls, and they had gone off to church, and I just kept delaying and delaying and delaying and going, and you know, I knew that service was well underway by the time I would get there. And I left, and I got to the church, and I went up to the door, and I opened the front door, and I stepped into the lobby, and that's as far as I got. I couldn't go any further. I was shaking, and I was in pain, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't make myself go in. And so I got back in the car, and I went home. Because sometimes after the storm, you got no strength for anything. You've got nothing to give. You've got nothing left. And I think that's when we're the most honest. And I think that's when Jesus begins to minister at a level that we don't even understand, that we don't comprehend. And we begin to heal. And maybe we begin to change. Maybe we begin to have encounters with Jesus that are a lot different than what we started before the storm. They're a little more real on the other side. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about brokenness. We talked about Jesus' promise to take our ashes and turn them into beauty, coming from, he quoted Isaiah 61. Beautiful passage. I believe from this passage and many others like it that Jesus also wants to turn our storms into calm. And then he wants to take the calm and use it to do ministry in our lives. The final question that these disciples have is kind of telling. They ask, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? Well, who is this to you? The disciples misunderstood who they were dealing with. They saw a man. Who is this man? They didn't think of him as the Son of God. They didn't think of him as God himself, second person of the Holy Trinity. They only saw Jesus, the man. Let me ask you this question this morning. Who is this to you? Who is this to you? Is he the Son of God? Is he the one who died on the cross for your sins? Is he the one who was raised on the third day? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? Or is he just some guy on a boat in a story? Who is Jesus? Trust in Jesus. Trust in the one who can calm the storm in your life. And not just this storm, but the next one, and the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. And the more storms we go through, the more experience of God we have in the difficult times, the more strength we have as Christians, the deeper our walk becomes with God. And it may not look exactly like we thought it might look. It might come out looking a little different than when we started. Nobody can judge that but God. That's between you and God. Now, we can help. We can surround each other. We can walk with each other. We can be part of that journey. We should be part of that journey. That's what God's church is for. But really, when it comes down to it, it's between you and God. Who is this person in your life? What does he mean to you? What is your relationship with him? Do you trust him? Let me tell you something. I hope you, if you take nothing else out of here today, but this is important. Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in your boat. Before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm, Jesus is in your boat. And he's the one who can calm the storm. And he was the only one in the boat who really wasn't worried about it. Because he knew. Because he's the Son of God. Lord, like the disciples, we have very little faith sometimes. And we're full of fear and doubt. And we feel very, very vulnerable. But we recognize, Lord, that when we feel like you aren't paying attention, that you know what's going on in our lives. You are paying attention. And you care very, very much what happens to us. Lord, help us to focus on you more than the storm. And after the storm, Lord, when we're battered and bruised and broken and can't face much of anything or anyone, after the storm, restore us and make us whole again. Lord, I pray for those who are still in the storm right now. I ask that you give them strength and hope that the storm will one day pass. And I pray that you will reveal yourself to them today by your Holy Spirit. Lift them up and carry them through. And help us to carry them too. And help us on the other side. May we be strong in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, the name of Jesus, master over the storm. Amen.
Would you please stand and worship with us?
I'm not backing down, I will stand my ground, lifting high the name of Jesus, holding out your light to a world in need, living out the love of Jesus. And though the battles rage, your blessing still we will go to the ends of the earth. We will go.
Jesus is in your boat. Hang on to that. Don't let that go. Next week, we're going to be starting a series on the book of Jonah. And maybe you think you know the story of Jonah. You know, about a big fish, swallows a guy, spits him up, you know, end of story. But we're going to talk about why all that happened. And it relates a lot more to us than we might think. So we'll begin that next week. You could be praying for me as I'm preparing to. Let's ask God's blessing as we go. Lord, we are so thankful that you have these wonderful stories, these amazing stories in your word that help us to see you a little more clearly and help us to understand why you've done what you've done and what it is you're doing in us. We embrace that and we thank you for that. Reveal yourself to us today as we go. Reveal yourself in our homes and in our workplace and in our school place and wherever it is we're going. Reveal yourself. Allow us to see you clearly as you give our lives all the way to you. We desire to follow you. We really do desire to be like you. Change us. Bring your blessing upon your people, we pray. And you know the love of Christ Jesus deep in your heart and in your home and everywhere you go. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Go with God. Amen.